The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania. And I mean, it's beautiful out there. Boy, spring has sprung early, at least for today. Folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday. That's from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be. We're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, of course, and you can watch us live and by archive on the YouTube channel, our YouTube channel, or the official Hagman and Hagman Report YouTube channel. Team K9, named after our dog, passed away. But anyway, if you go to HagmanHagman.com, there you can get to every link, every listening venue, and watching venue. And don't forget, folks, we've got multiple websites. We've got Hagman and Hagman for the show. We've got Hagman Report for news, information, and Rhonda is doing just a fabulous job. Just want to give a kind of a shout-out to Rhonda. You know, there's a metric that is used to provide you with a variety of news that really affects your everyday life. I mean, you can get news about celebrities, you go to a variety of places. Where do you want to stop first? How about HagmanReport.com? Definitely put that on your favorites. And of course, my little spot on the internet, that's Northeast Intelligence Network, and more coming about that later in the week. In information related to that. And I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, folks. What I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. What I mentioned before starting out, tonight's broadcast brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Folks, do you ever have a bad night's sleep on a bad mattress? Wow. How about having a great night's sleep on a great mattress that won't break the bank either? Casper Mattress, they're an online retailer of premium mattresses for just a fraction of the price. And what a great, blissful sleep you will get. They use a combination technology. It's latex memory foam and memory foam. It gives you just the right sink and the right bounce. And two technologies. Folks, the product is made in America by a company that's really a small company, family owned. I mean, but a leader in the mattress industry. More on Casper Mattress later, but I should say this. Go to Casper.com/CFP Radio. That's Casper.com/CFP Radio. There you'll see, it'll say welcome Hagman and Hagman listeners. And of course, there's a very special offer. A very special offer there. If you go to Casper.com/CFP Radio, that's Casper.com/CFP Radio, and use our coupon code CFP Radio, you'll get $50 toward any mattress purchase. Okay, by using that URL, that promo code. Terms and conditions do apply. More on that later. But tonight, we've got a great show for you planned. The first two hours. Or as long as he'll agree to stay to talk about the music of King David, basically frequencies, your mental health and physical health and well-being. This is Michael Terrell, WholeTonesLive.com. That's our little section of WholeTones Live, WholeTonesLive.com. He's going to be joining us, and his last visit with us was in January. And I've got to tell you, the information that we learned about frequencies and about a number of things, good, bad, and just the amount of information. It was just tremendous, and we just are so excited to have him back. News that we're following just briefly, of course, there's so much news out there. It looks like, depending on which channel you watch, is rather interesting. The media is painting it up where Trump and Cruz are in a virtual dead heat, and you've got Sanders and Hillary on the other side, somewhat less competitive. I do suspect that the South will be will knock Sanders out. But it's interesting how they're elevating the establishment, is elevating Cruz, establishment Republicans, fearful of Trump. So that's very interesting to watch. You've got, four states right now today that are making the decision. And it's, we'll be watching that and keeping our eyes on that later. Joe?
Yeah, you got, looks like Missouri, Michigan, Idaho, and Hawaii. If I'm reading that right.
That's correct.
We'll be the four states. And, as you said, they're making the race look a lot closer than what the polls show and what they have shown, at least. A recent Reuters poll that's up on the Drudge Report has Trump at 40%, Cruz at 23%, Rubio at 14%. And they are, as you said, making it seem a lot closer than what the numbers have shown and what the we've seen from just a majority of sources.
Sure.
Across the internet. And the headline on the big headline on Drudge is Republican exit polls anger, and we see other headlines, GOP leaders meeting in secret to try to stop Trump, figure out how to bring this brokered convention when they meet in Cleveland this summer. And, I do believe, even talking with people, a local business owner here earlier today, he asked, how's this all going on? How are they doing this and not being called on it? With the attacking Trump, and he's not even a Trump supporter, but he sees the writing on the wall. And, it's hard to watch sometimes. I mean, it's this political theater, and they do what they do for a reason, and they're trying to bring discord amongst people, especially amongst American citizens. But tonight, I had the pleasure of speaking with our guest, Mr. Michael Terrell of Whole Tones Live, sponsor of the show. And we're going to get into some interesting stuff today. And we do have Mr. Michael Terrell with us right now. His website is wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com. And Mr. Michael Terrell is his name. Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
It's an honor to be back with you, Doug and Joel. And I got to tell you that of all the different syndicated shows I've spoken at and the different conferences, I can't tell you the last time I remember receiving more loving emails from people. Your listeners are the sweetest, most wonderful people. And I'm not saying that I don't give cheesy kudos to people, but I can tell you that daily, since our last time in January, I have got some of the most unbelievable letters. Would it be okay if I read two of them real quick?
Oh, yeah, please do. Yes.
Okay. And they love you just as much, if not more. So this one is from a lady named Rebecca. I won't give her last name. But Dear Doug, I want to thank you so much for having Michael Terrell on and for sharing about Whole Tones. I listened and was very interested, but I didn't get around to downloading it until yesterday. I was so blessed, and when my husband came home, he was so enraptured by it, he just kept raving about how nice it was. We listened to it all this morning, and he said, "This may sound funny, but I feel like some kind of disease has left my body, some kind of impurity." Then he said, "It feels like in my bones the marrow is getting ministered to." I then told him that it had healing qualities. He suffered from PTSD, she meant, and now only wants to listen to it every day. I personally felt like some sort of blockage left me inside, and I started crying uncontrollably. I know it was healing from our Lord. Thank you for sharing again, and I pray for you and Joe and your show every day. God bless you, Rebecca. And the other one says, "Dear Doug and Joe, thank you so," and there are several O's, "much for the books that you sent and also the cool stickers. Believe me, I will use them. I would like to share with you just what your program has done for me. I've listened to you guys for several years now, and I love Pastor Langford, Steve Quayle, and all the other great guests. But a few months ago, you had Michael Terrell on with Whole Tones. Well, let me tell you what happened. I pulled up the samples at work. Now, understand, I teach special ed, and the ones that I have to do have very bad disabilities in reading, math, but most of all, they have behavioral issues. I have 6th, 7th, and 8th graders in the evening, and I have just boys. Whew! I started playing the open door where I had chaos before. Now there's nothing but calmness and peace. And now even the students remarked on how peacefully my room was. So I ordered the package and downloaded it at home and at school. Students that wanted to fight each other or were just plain lazy, their behavior radically changed. I thank the Lord for you both and for your ministry. God is using your program in a mighty way to help people understand and to have the provision that we need in order to fight the forces that are going to come and are coming against us. Know one thing. You have a special education teacher way down in Mississippi that knows, in fact, that Whole Tones works. My special ed boys are proof of that. I pray for you both and your families to have protection and to be led in whatever path God has for you. Love, Lisa. And that's just two of, my goodness, probably 100 of the loving emails, including one from a high school classmate that I haven't heard from in 30 years that found me by listening to your show. So I can't say enough about both of you, and I'm honored to not only be on with you tonight, but just to be able to say that I think that you guys are an amazing voice for the kingdom.
Well, thank you very much, and I got to say this, that we're very protective and very protective of our listeners. And I was approached today to sponsor a product, or not sponsor a product, or talk about a product on there, and I had to decline them. It was, I just couldn't do it. And you know, I have a policy. We have a policy that we don't talk about anything. For example, we don't sponsor or have people sponsor us just for the money. It's we have to believe in what they do, and there's a criteria. And you know, you perform a service through your music, through your art, through your, I mean, your service helps so many people, helping the veterans, helping the people with PTSD, helping people like me who are quick to anger. I'll tell you something, okay? I can tell the difference. The day before yesterday, or I don't know when it was, I had a mini meltdown, and, you know, but today, putting on Whole Tones, there's a change, and you can feel it,
yeah.
You know. But anyway, well, I'm glad of the response. But this is an art and a science, I suppose, right?
Absolutely, and I think that the problem, I think, a lot of times when we look at those is we, you know, as a nation, we're so divided right now. It breaks my heart. I mean, you can't say anything on social media without somebody being angry with you and responding in bold caps. And you know, I think that chasm of indifference has caused us to perhaps not be as open-minded and understand that it would be literally impossible for God to have created everything that we see without frequency. It would be impossible for us to have a grid on what frequency is without science. And the problem is that you have people that are Christians that hate science, and you have scientists that hate Christians. And the point is that they corroborate each other when done properly. And I understand that, as well as mathematics, too. And the problem is that everybody has become so combative, guys. And, like, it's, if we don't understand something, if we're Christians, then we get the manila envelope out and we just put that under the demonic file because we can't explain it. And so, therefore, it must be evil without even trying, right? And the same way with spiritual things from a scientific standpoint, because if you're just an egghead, you can't, I mean, I remember this guy one time, and it was one of the best things. It was a scientist, and the guy was talking to the guy about the impossibility of angels, the impossibility of angels, the creation of angels. And the guy said, well, he said, if you have a problem with just an angel feather, you're going to have a real problem with the whole angel. And I think that that's kind of the thing that we're so myopic in our view, in our worldview. We're so, there's so much hatred and so much division and so much racism and so much thin-skinned stuff that it's like you said, it's hard for me to watch any of the debates. It's hard for me to, in fact, I will suspend my one Facebook timeline just prior to the election just because it's getting so nasty and ugly out there. But people don't understand. We kind of hinged on this a little bit. But this is all frequency. You can call it what you want to, but the power of life and death is in your tongue. You can speak life or you can speak death. And there's so much noise pollution being broadcast in social media and so much negative, if you will, frequencies, or as they said in the 60s, vibes, man, that are being broadcast, you know, every day, that we're choking out the good and we're choking out love and we're choking out hope for people. And people are going nuts, man, because they're not getting anything positive into their lives at all.
You know, you bring up some very great points. Now, let me ask this at the outset, if I may, here, and kind of set the stage, because here's how I look at things. God has given us so many great tools and so many gifts through His creation, and sound frequencies is one of His creations. And of course, people can pervert that creation if they want, and they do.
Sure.
And you, on the other hand, have done the opposite. You found, through your studies with biblical studies and such, you found frequencies that help people. Now, invariably, people will say, "Oh, well, now wait a second here. Okay, let's talk about chakras. Let's talk about yin and yang." And,
sure.
I mean, it's all new age, and how dare you? Why don't you just sleep with some crystals under your pillow? Okay. And it just amazes me how otherwise sensible and reasonable, rational, and very well-informed Christians.
Yes.
And God love them. I mean, you know, their intent to me, I truly believe they're well-intended. But man, somewhere along the line, they just kind of go off on a tangent. So dispel the new age, or that, you know, if you can, please, or if you would, please.
I would be honored to. The first thing that we have to realize is that this that I speak of is old age. And we have a real hard time it's so funny, it's almost like we're linear-based beings, right? Everything is a straight line. It starts here, it goes here. We don't understand how to deal with eternity, which obviously buttresses up against quantum mechanics and physics, and it makes more sense, but people get angry even if I say that. So if you're considering the Eternals, for example, there's nothing older than what existed before anything existed. Are you with me that far? In other words, if you have a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, that's quite a cryptic statement. However, it's canon, it's gospel. And if you look at eternity, that there was always something before there was anything. And if you understand that, that very thing appears to us in Logos in the book of Genesis, when it says that, you know, that He said, "Let there be light." God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we have to understand, as we mentioned briefly last time, that this was a frequency. It's impossible for us to communicate. It's impossible for us to have this conversation. It's impossible for you to broadcast without frequency. So when God, who, when He speaks once, by the way, fills the sonic spectrum of sound, over 22 octaves of sound, my goodness. So, and what's funny is when God's speaking to you sometimes, things in other frequency realms can appreciate that in the parts that you can't hear. In our human, see, here's the other part about this that dispels it real quick. It says humans, if we can see it, we believe it, right? But there's things way outside of our ability to see that aren't in our eyes' ability to see. In the same way, sonically, the human hearing only employs a little bit of real estate composed to a mole on the bottom or an elephant on the bottom and a bat for existence on the top. We couldn't hear anything that was going on in any of those animal kingdoms whatsoever. It's just like when I was little, I went to the pet store and it said silent dog whistle. Well, I blew on it and I didn't hear anything, but the dogs were going nuts in the pet store. So to say, "Oh, there's nothing going on because I can't hear anything," well, ask the dog. So here we are with New Age, okay? It's like, so where did that come from, you know? What's Ancient Age? Well, Ancient Age is that God said it, and that settles it. He spoke it, it was. New Age tends to take the deity away from God. It tends to put it on us. Instead of making the I am, it makes I the God.
Yes.
And so with all of that, when you temper that with, okay, here's a guy that's your new friend that we're speaking with about something that God entrusted me with, I'm nothing special, guys. I put my pants on just the same way you do. However, what makes us divine is God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What makes me special is God. And when people are around me and they are moved, or when I speak live and people are sitting on the edge of their chair for 2 hours and not taking a break, it's because God is speaking to them. And so in the same way tonight, that's what this is really all about, communication. And God has always wanted to communicate with his creation. And you remember in the Bible it talks about it, 400 years of silence between the Old and New Testament. Here's the thing that people don't think of, because we're so slow to judge ourselves. Was it 400 years of silence because God stopped speaking to man, or was it 400 years of silence because man stopped listening to God? That's the question.
Wow.
That's the question. And there's not a man on earth that could answer that question. But we get that way. We get ambivalent. We get ambivalent with each other. We get ambivalent with God. We shake our little human finger at God, and we speak to him as though he's one of us. And I think the problem, guys, is that people, they believe, you know what, as a pastor for years, people are going to believe what they want to believe. You know, God bless you for your broadcasting and bringing the truth to people, but just because you're doing it doesn't mean people are going to believe it. And I can, like, have this track record of 20-some-odd years of integrity, but that doesn't mean anybody's going to buy what I'm selling either. So the point with the getting back to the New Age is that New Age always has this kind of, like I say, it's the freak, F-R-E-A-K, in the frequency. There's this freak thing that always tries to hinge on the paranormal, or it puts it on creations, i.e. crystals. Let's just take that one. The Bible says what? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do crystals, or do semi-precious stones and rocks, possess frequency? You bet they do. And if they didn't, that watch on your left hand could not keep time, because that quartz drive in there makes sure that you knew when to call me at 7 o'clock tonight so we can get rolling. That's the point. But if you make that stone a deity, now you're talking New Age. If you take the God out of God's creation and you make the creation, the created things, the Bible says, God, that's New Age. What I do with whole tones is I say, listen, I'm not doing anything. This is a frequency that connects, and God ultimately does all of the healing. People say, well, do you think whole tones will hear this? I said, I don't have a clue. All I can do is read back to you what in the hundreds, you know, thousands now of testimonials that people are writing to me telling me what it does when they listen to it. Well, is it the music that's healing them? No. No. It's not the music. The music is the spoonful of sugar. What works is the frequency, and the frequency is something that God created in order to help man. And guess what? There's a lot of things God created to help man. And you know what? Man takes those things, and he manipulates those things and uses those things for his own power and for his own monetization and capitalism. And then people in the pharmaceutical world decide to take some of those things that God made for us and turn them into drugs that end up with I mean, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you do, but every night, man, it's like you see this guy, you know, on these pharmaceutical commercials, and he's sitting in the office with his doctor. All right, let's be honest, guys. How many of you guys ever saw your doctor? You see the doctor's assistant. It makes it look like it's his old pal, and he's sitting there talking with him about his, you know, that, you know, if you see a doctor, it's 2 minutes in and out. Thanks, man. So they sell this shot of this particular doctor, and he's nodding his head and got his hand on the guy on the patient's shoulder, and they're talking about his medical condition. He said, my doctor thinks that I need this. And then at the end, you got this thing, blah, 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 produces sudden death, symptoms of blah, 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 blah. And it's like, so you have this lovey, you know, big time expense commercial selling the dope. And then at the end of the story, you've got an auctioneer or a hawker that's talking so fast that you turn him off, because what he's talking about is the side effects that can kill you and that are often worse than the actual symptomatic problem in its own right. So I guess I said all that to say that substantiation is a huge word in what you and I do. Everybody wants substantiation. But here's the funny thing, isn't it? You can have somebody in the White House or another person that's running for that same elevated position that has done unbelievable things and atrocities to mankind. And nobody, it's like they don't have to substantiate anything. It's like they're covered with some kind of Teflon and can get away with anything they want, and nobody can do anything. Then you have all these people, like yourselves, for example, or I can think of a host of others, that they spend their lives and their time trying to do good. The greatest example of this that I could ever mention, who was actually perfect, unlike any of us, was Jesus Christ, who gave his entire life that all mankind could be saved. But isn't that interesting that from Jesus down to each one of us that do good, now they require substantiation? Oh, you can do evil and nobody substantiates it, but as soon as you make a claim of something good, hundreds of thousands of people are getting healed listening to these frequencies. Let's substantiate that. Okay. So then, you know, then John Hopkins University does, or a host of doctors does, or somebody, and you know what? It's never enough, is it, guys? So
never.
Finally you get to the point when you say this, it's not my job to prove anything to anybody. It's my job to model the kingdom of God and to offer something that I believe is of God that is helping tens of thousands of people. And you know what the thing about Whole Tones is? It's yours. When you get it, it's yours. A lot of things like, oh, you have to buy this, and then you got to buy this. And if you buy Whole Tones, unless you destroy it somehow, it's yours. There's not many people that do that. The reason is that I want you to have something that changes your life and everybody else's around you. And that's the important thing, is that, you know, this was created for one simple reason. I love God's people. It was pretty apparent the first time we spoke. I love you too. I want you to be well and whole. I want everybody to be whole. That my perfect idea of a perfect world is if there was no sickness and that we could wipe out cancer in our lifetime. To me, that's heaven on earth, is wiping out these diseases that are killing people.
Sure.
And that's why I spend all my crazy hours, and my wife always laughs at me. She said, living with you is like living with Tesla. I'm always working. But but it's good work.
It's good work
because I'm expecting a good harvest for the time that I put in researching. So there you go.
You know, we had so many people ask us when you were on last time, how did you isolate, find? The questions were varied, but the intent of the questions was the same. How did you discover the frequencies? And how did you create what you did? I mean, author Greg Jackson, a frequent guest on our program and just a prolific author, you know, he sent me an email. He said the other night, man, he took sleepy time tea and, you know, did everything he possibly could not fall asleep. But, the frequencies that you have for that relax, specifically for that purpose. He put on, and yeah, he was ultimately able to fall asleep. Now, some people might say, "Oh, that's just, you know, a one-off or whatever."
Oh no!
But I hear, you know, I hear from people like this all of the time. My wife, who, my goodness, let me tell you something. She, you know, it's like, she can't fall asleep many nights, and not because of me. Although one might make that argument, but that aside, just kidding. But you know, I guess the bottom line question is, How did you find out what you found out and create this?
That's a very fair question. Let me put it in two different categories of how I found it and then how it actually happened as far as getting on to, you know, a hard drive recording, how we actually captured it, I think is almost as important. And, you know, all of this stuff is in the book that comes with the seven disc set, Whole Tones. There's a book called The Sound of Healing and explains all of this in great detail and explains, you know, here's the beauty of things is that when God gives you something, if he gives it to you, then you give it away. I don't keep anything back. I tell musicians how to do exactly what I'm doing. So there could be 10,000 Whole Tones. I mean, my goodness, let me digress to tell you what I've never really told you, what my overarching goal is, that I want to retune our nation and finally the entire world. I want everyone. Can you imagine listening to Muzak in your elevator trip up to your office building, and they're even playing 444 hertz every day, and people are being as marinated in 444 as they were the caustic A equals 440 hertz since, you know, for the last, I don't know, you know, 100 years. But back to your question. there's always times, this, and you never know when you're going to stumble upon. I mean, you guys did. I'm with you tonight. You're doing what you were created by God to do. I mean, you found your niche. I didn't really know exactly what I was, what my magnum opus was. You know, I didn't have a clue. And then when this came about, I was in Israel. I mean, I was on a trip with a pastor in Israel, and had no thoughts of, you know, special keys or supernatural frequencies or any of that. I just went on a trip with my spiritual father, Don Finto, to do some meetings over in Israel, and to proofread his book, which was called Your People Shall Be My People. And in the midst of all of this, one day he made this cryptic statement. He said, I just feel like we're supposed to drive to this coffee house on Ben Yehuda Street in Jerusalem, and he said, and a guy that has no idea that we're here, who's my dear friend, is going to show up in that coffee house. And he said, I just think it's a divine appointment. Not to me, that was just like, that was exciting Huck Finn stuff. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I was all over it. It's like, sure, yeah, let's go to somewhere where no one knows we are, and then we're going to find the people we need to find, and it's going to be awesome. And that's exactly what happened in a nutshell. There was a man that was playing piano in the corner of this coffee house, and he kept staring at me, and it was a little awkward. I didn't really know what was going on. He just kept looking at me and giggling, and I thought, wow, do I look that weird in my hair? What
is
it? You know? The long story short was that this guy was a believer playing worship songs instrumentally in a Hasidic coffee house that was ultra-Orthodox, so they're paying him to play worship music in the coffee house, and they had no idea that they were Christian songs because there weren't any words. It was instrumental. And so he was giggling because somehow he knew that I was a Christian, and I knew what he was up to, that the jig was up, as it were. And he came to the table and started talking to me, and it was almost like, you know, there's times when you have conversations with people and it's the ho-hum, and there's times when you talk to someone, you know that there's destiny in that few minutes of communication. And in a nutshell, what he said is, I've spent my life studying the Psalms of David, and Yeshua said, I'm supposed to give you my life's work that you would know what to do with it. Well, that's kind of heavy, you know. So he said, stick around for my next break if you can, and I'm going to go out to my car and give you some stuff. And that's how it all started, guys. He gave me some manuscripts, and he had translated some of these manuscripts into A equals 440 because he didn't know better, I guess. And so when I got back to the States and I played it, I didn't sense anything special about what he had given me, and I filed it away in the office for 2 years. And then, as the book says, one day I got out, and I got my old Bible out, and I opened it up, and it turned to page 222, and I thought, that's interesting. I know what that means. It means God's sufficiency in the midst of man's insufficiency. But if there is anything about David on that page, because my Bible just opened up, you know, I didn't like thumb through it, it just opened up there, and if I said, if there's anything about David on there, I'm going to lose my mind. And I read all the way down, and there was a genealogy, and it said, and David, the son of Jesse. And I went, no, it can't be this easy. It was like God was, it was like God speaking to a son and remezzing with him, you know. He's like not answering my questions, but asking questions that made me dig deeper, until finally I just said, could it really be that simple? All these years I've been looking. If I just double 222, could it really be that A equals 444 hertz? And that was the beginning of that. So I reinterpreted the manuscripts that David had given me, and found that from my, now again, how could anyone prove any of this? I can't prove this. Can you? I can't prove that God exists. I can do a really compelling job trying, but I can't. All I can do is say this: by their fruit you shall know them. That's the only way. It's by people using discernment. And so when that happens, I knew that guy was of the Lord, and I had a feeling that when I started playing in this key, that things were going to happen. And I can only say, guys, now that tens, hundreds of thousands of people's lives have been changed from seven simple notes that no one heard before. And so that's how it started. Do you have time for me to tell you how we captured it?
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So typically, most musicians will tell you, there's a typical way of recording. You know, when you go into a recording studio, there's music, for starters. It really helps. There's lead sheets. You know, somebody takes the time to write a song and then print up the lead sheets with chords, and has all of those particular things marked in there, as you know, from tempo to dynamics to start finish, all that good stuff. So the studio players, if you're in Nashville, it works off the number system. If you're anywhere else, it works off notes. But you furnish your musicians with the music, and then because they're good players, you know, they turn their little egg timers as soon as the first downbeat starts, and they're getting paid by the hour, you know, union scale, double scale, triple scale. So here I am with this information, and it was so crazy because my wife and I drove to Dallas with all my equipment, you know, from Florida, and I'm trying to write songs, and nothing's happening at all. And I'm getting not frustrated, but more scared, because I'm thinking, we're about 10 hours away from Dallas, and I don't know what I'm going to tell these boys, you know. And so it got to the point where when we got to the studio, I walked in, and they all looked at me with the, well, what are we doing, you know? And I broke down. I just told them. I cried, and I said, guys, listen, I got nothing. All I know is that the Lord told me to listen to these frequencies, and there was music in there, and I could go in after it and get it. It's like going down in a well. There's something in here. And when I hear it, though, I said, I'm going to start barking out directions, and I want you to get on your instrument and start doing what I tell you to do. But for right now, just pray for me. And they looked at me, and I said, you're getting paid right now. Turn your ticker on. Don't worry. But I said, I'm just telling you, I don't know what I'm doing. And I think, guys, in retrospect, that it wasn't like, it wasn't false humility. It was organic. It was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I should know. I've done this my whole life, but this is something new. And here's the kicker. In this recording studio that was called the Noise Vault, there is no windows, and there's also only ISO booths, which is like, they look like little closets with a door that closes, and you can't see the other musicians in there. They're soundproof. And so all of us were in our little cubicles, and then Sunday the keyboard player was out in the main room, and so we had no line of sight of each other, and suddenly we just started playing, and this music started coming out. And I was having a hard time not sniffling because I had a live microphone on my acoustic guitar. I was having a hard time not sniffling because I felt God's presence so strong, and I was breaking down, and we kept playing. And so right around, you know, I guess probably we didn't have any watch. I didn't have a watch, obviously, because I don't wear a watch when I play guitar, and we didn't have any clocks and couldn't see each other. And all of a sudden I saw the engineer in the control room through the glass just going bonkers in the control room. So I didn't know if something good was happening, something bad was happening. Anyway, long story short, the song ends. He comes flying out of there. He goes, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. He goes, it was 22 minutes and 22 seconds exactly long. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, it's the most glorious thing. And he started weeping. And he wasn't that kind of a guy. You know, he's a real stoic kind of. And that was the beginning of that. That happened 7 times without us being able to see each other, feel anything other than God. And when you listen to Whole Tones, and I know you have, it sounds like it's being conducted, but not by man. Everyone knew, the drummer knew what to do and when to come in, when to go out. We knew it. We stopped on a dime. We'd start again without anybody telling anybody what to do, and no music. So,
how is that, you know, really, how is that even possible without the hand of God? I mean,
it's not.
Exactly.
If you're not in the spirit, there's no flow. You're not going to get anything. You're just going to think, and there's nothing in there.
Oh, man. Wow. What an incredible story. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, now, a lot of people are not aware. I mean, we hear the terms, militarization of music.
Mm-hmm.
When you were on last time, we kind of touched on this. A lot of people don't. You know, it's like, well, the history of music, the history of frequency, and how now it's being used as a weapon, and it's being militarized, just as there is, you know, what you're doing for good, the enemy is doing for bad.
Absolutely.
You know, if you just want to touch on this, as a historical, in a historical context, because I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, the British, what was it, the British Standard Institute back in the, you know, what was it, around the World War II time, established the A equals the 440 hertz standard. This has a rich history, and it's an important history if we are to understand what's taking place today, and how we can, through your through Whole Tones Live how we can offset that attack, the spiritual attack, and even physical attacks on us today. So, if you could tell us the negative, and we can go from the go into the positive.
Sure. Yeah, and you guys have to moderate me because I can go for hours here, and I want you to you have a format, and there's when we get probably into some point of this, it will probably go on for a bit because we didn't talk about last time about these particular elements, and there's so much going on in our world today that connects, especially HAARP in Alaska and other things that we probably need to bring up. But just for starters, I think probably the most compelling evidence, even more than what the British actually posted, which was a lot more benign, was Joseph Goebbels' use of A equals 440 hertz from the German radio beat was the game changer. And also it was kind of the thing that, you know, when you guys go down that well sometimes and, you know, we're trying to find the difference between a conspiracy and just a hoax, and when you find out that you really tapped into something that's legit, it makes your hair stand up. And when I, you know, initially asked that question that kind of opened the door for Whole Tones was, why when you go to a music store and they sell you a tuner, why is it calibrated to A equals 440 hertz? Because I knew when I traveled to other countries and played music with other musicians, when I tuned to our tuner, it wasn't in tune with them. And it was pretty quick that I found out that other countries use different types of frequencies for tuning. But the most... I think that, like I said, the thing that was a game changer for me was when I did the research on Joseph Goebbels and the German radio beat and how, you know, obviously with Dr. Mengele as well, that everything they did was centered around mind control, torture, manipulation. And so even the frequencies, people don't really understand that the Nazis were really on the cutting edge of so many different powerful discoveries, however all of them were for evil. And it's really sad. Even some of the things that with some of Tesla's research and some of the things that they did with toroidal transformers and stuff that was really could have created machines that would have given all of Germany free electricity, they use this for weaponry. But anyway, not to digress, but technically what they did then was that they knew that if they use this A equals 440 hertz, this frequency, that it goes against our normal wiring and from the genius of God, of how we were wired, which has to do with gravity, which has to do with our circadian rhythm, which controls the pineal gland. So many different parts of our physiology are suspect with this frequency. And so during wartime, Joseph Goebbels thought that it was so important that basically, you know, like the New World Order, his whole bee in his bonnet was to tune the whole world to 440 hertz. And he tried with all of his might to get France, Italy, Spain, different parts of the world to come into this standard tuning process, which everybody would, you know, music would be the same everywhere around the world. And nobody would agree with him. And there's only two countries at the end of the day that did. And unfortunately, it was the United States of America and Canada. And they adopted a faux standard tuning. There is no standard tuning. If anyone tells you there's a standard tuning, they are lying to you. If you go to Leningrad, it's 444 hertz. If you go to Venice, it's anywhere between 441 and 460. If you go to certain parts of Germany and Austria, England, it's 432 hertz. Interesting note, though, the only American symphony to convert to 444 did so 4 years ago, and it's the Boston Pop Symphony. And they didn't give an explanation, but I can tell you one thing. If you go see the Boston Pops and you go see the Philadelphia Philharmonic, what you feel will be completely different. So in essence, if Nazi Germany thought that it was so important during wartime when they were conducting experiments on human bodies and beloved Jewish people, using them as utilitarian devices to test their ilk and evil on, how important are frequencies? How can they be manipulated for evil? Well, the power of life and death is in the tongue. I can do incredible things I could tell your viewers, and I will right now, I love you. And you're going to get people emailing, you're going to say, oh my gosh, he really does. How is that possible? And in the same way, if I felt it and I said the other way, but I won't, you know, the H-A-T-E word, they would feel this knot and sickness in their stomach, because there's power in what we say and what we carry. It's so powerful. And we could change the world if we could only speak love, if we could only speak good. You know, I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, you know, I think the first guy that ever starts the Good News Network would have something bigger than Fox. And I have to agree, I'm so tired of all of this negativity, because I know what it accomplishes. I know what it creates in the body. I know that bitterness causes cancer. And the Germans knew if they could harness this negative frequency and make it a musical mandate, a militarization, as you put it so brilliantly, a weaponry of frequency through music and the arts, that they literally could sweep through the world with evil and ilk. And all that being said, guys, for all of our lifetimes so far, the predominant musical frequency we hear on the radio, in the elevator, in Walmart, in the malls, in shopping centers, in the movie theaters, primarily is recorded in A equals 440 hertz. And so it stands to reason that if somebody as wicked as Joseph Goebbels' mandate was to completely retune the world with 440, you can understand why my life work for how many days God blesses me with on the earth is to retune this whole big blue marble to 444 hertz and to see healing spread through the nations like the waters cover the sea.
Amen. And it's so important for people to understand that, you know, music in particular, when we say music, I we can almost interchange. Well, in this case, in this conversation, we can interchange music with frequency, but certain frequencies cause antisocial conditions. You know, it's interesting, and I see this taking place, Joe, and I see this every day, where antisocial conditions in humanity, they're being stoked through a very subliminal, is that the right word?
Yeah.
You know, means,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Okay, and people don't know they're being managed.
Subliminal subconscious.
They're being manipulated.
Yeah. Right.
And they're
right.
Subjecting themselves to this manipulation unknowingly,
yeah,
in many cases.
Yeah. And I mean, people, I was working on a project and I just finished this, and one of the statements I made and I wrote is, you know, if people knew that there was a different world to go out there than what, you know, the average 9-to-5. If people really knew the depth of the evil, the depth of the scheming and the plotting and the planning that's being imposed upon humanity today, whether it's the elections or whether it's,
sure,
social networking. Oh, you know, well, why is everyone so angry today? Well, we are all being gamed.
We're being worn out.
Yes.
Doug.
Yes.
We're being worn out. Do you want to go there real quick?
Sure.
Okay. So I've been listening to a lot of the posts lately about these mysterious sounds that people are hearing around the world. Some of them have even called it Gideon's trumpet. There's the whale sounds and the underwater sounds and the sounds from the celestial galaxies, and then certain, you know, crowned heads of the scientific community saying that it's either, you know, a supernova, from one thing to another, or aliens. No, just throw out that one for fun. Or aliens, or, you know. And what's really interesting to me is that, you know, like I said, what's great about me is God. I'm just an average Joe. However, there's certain things that are inarguable, and one of them is frequency realm and the address, or in other words, where frequencies live. So when you're looking at one of the things, I mean, I can listen to everybody talk about all of this stuff, but there's elemental properties and frequencies that are so easily defined and discerned. And the first one is, I mentioned this last time, I think it's really important for our listeners. When you look at old school analog equipment, you had bass, mid, and treble. You know, now, of course, we have, you know, parametric EQs and all kinds of ways to split the frequencies between those and, you know, get the sweet spot of your audio needs and, you know, for your music at home. But the bottom line is it basically breaks down into three: bass, mid, and treble. In the same way, in the human economy of our hearing, certain frequencies affect certain parts of the human body. Hence, you talked about this just a few minutes ago, but in some of the Eastern Bloc nations and in some countries, for years they've been running between 33 and 40 hertz below, you know, downtown through speakers to keep the people, like, worn out. Those frequencies affect the, you know what it's like? It's like getting a whole bunch of like little quick rabbit punches to the gut. It just wears the man out, the woman out. And they use that, again, it's another form of crowd control. It's a, if you spend any time in Russia or some of these countries, you realize that there's a depression there that's more than just the social economic climate or communism or whatever. There's something going on, and most of what's going on is the inherent frequencies that they run downtown day after day through loudspeakers every day. You don't get a break. They run it through some of the hum of their television sets. It's so powerful, but people don't understand that. So when you realize that let's plus minus 30 hertz to the 100 so-and-so hertz realms, that's predominantly body, physical. Hence, if you listen to, this is funny, some of you guys are going to get it right away. You're driving downtown and a guy pulls up next to you in his hoopty, and there's so much low-end bass that it's making you shake in your chair, and your, you know what I mean? Your glove compartment opens up. It's just, you know, and it doesn't make you happy though. It agitates you. Well, the point is that it's only physical. And so it's assaulting your body with sub-frequencies that your body doesn't need. And so it rebels and it repels those frequencies. But it definitely is, in other words, so we're hearing all of these frequencies from beyond and from the deep space and from deep sea, and they're all like between 30 and 100 hertz. And I'm saying, guess what, guys? These are physiological things. Phenomena? Sure. Because the only reason it's a phenomena is because we don't exactly know what's causing it. What if it's a fissure underneath the, you know, or some, you know, tectonic plate or, so who knows? But it's not spiritual. And that's what I'm getting at. So let's move on. So then your next set of frequencies, you know, 1K hertz in the, what we would call the mid-range. If we were musicians, it would be the cello. It would be Yo-Yo Ma playing in Carnegie Hall, and he hits three notes and you're crying like a girl. That range, which does what? Affects the soul. Thought, will, emotions. And so when you're dealing with mid-range frequencies, you've moved out of the body and more into the feeler, the heart of the man or woman. The part that makes you emote, makes you cry, makes you laugh, makes you jump, makes you sick. So certain elements, you know, I'm not seeing any of these things so much in that realm. And then we get to the best part, which is the treble, or what I would call in the man, you know, body, soul, spirit, the spiritual side. Spiritual things operate at such a high level of frequency. My goodness. And if you think about it, and here's the fun part. Let's have fun. All right. So what does the Bible say? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I have perfected praise. Have you ever listened to an infant's heartbeat on a sonogram?
Oh.
Right? Doesn't sound like yours or mine, does it?
No.
Because why? Because the frequency realm is totally different. When that baby is like, their very first sounds are these unbelievably high-pitched little, you know, little frequencies and stuff. Why? It's really simple. Innocence has the sound of heaven. It's beautiful. Little babies haven't come into this world and be fully defiled by all the junk and garbage that hangs on us every day through one political debate. The baby just comes here and, you know what I mean, it's fresh out of heaven. And so part of what comes with a child, I mean, and please, listeners, don't say I'm saying that babies aren't without Adamic sin. We don't have to go into theology. I'm simply saying that when a baby comes, the baby's elemental creation, everything is high. For example, if you take a rubber band right now, okay, and you hold both ends of it and you let it be kind of limp and you pluck it with your finger, it's going to go dung, 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 dung. That is low-end frequency. The tighter you make that rubber band, the higher the pitch is going to be. Can you imagine the size of a baby's vocal cord compared to Doug's vocal cords? There's no comparison. So here's the amazing part is that children can scream and never grow hoarse, moms, right? When they're babies, they just scream and scream and scream and scream. Why? Because it's their tessitura. It's their natural sonic real estate where their voice really is. You know when a baby goes hoarse the first time? When it tries to emulate the sound of his father's voice. Think about it. Then he stretches his little vocal cord to try to make it do something daddy's voice does, and the baby loses his voice because he was trying to emulate another voice. And in Bible history, we have this too, don't we? You sound like, right? You sound, Jacob and Esau.
Yeah.
You sound like one, but you smell like the other. Right? He changed his father couldn't see him, so he changed himself so he would rip off a blessing. That's when we grow hoarse, and that's when things go wrong in our lives, and we try to be something we're not. Or when, can you imagine if there was a cardinal and he saw a robin and said, man, I wish I could sing like the robin, and the cardinal tried to sing like the robin? We're not even as smart as birds. We can't stay in our own lane. We always want what the other guy has.
Hold that thought, Michael. We're at the top of the hour break. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.